Hello, church family. This is Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. My prayer today is that this word encourages and deepens your faith. Again, thanks for tuning in.
We read before the prayer in the Gospel of John, the 12th chapter, and what I wanted to do is show you this example of manipulation. You know, church, we live in a world of lies. 1 John chapter 5, verses 19 through 20 tells us this, that we live in a world of lies. But God has called us to a relationship with Him who is true. He has given us, according to John 16, verse 13, His Spirit, which is called the Spirit of Truth. Jesus has given us His Word. And John 17, verse 17 says, His Word is truth. And Jesus Himself in John 14, 6 said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So being that we have a relationship with our Father in heaven who is true, receive His Spirit who is truth, have His Word which is true, and believe on Jesus who is truth, we ought to be able to overcome all the lies that are in this world. Amen? The objective of this series is not necessarily for you and I to go out and pinpoint people that have a controlling spirit that use manipulation and intimidation and exaggeration just so that they can be in control. But prayerfully, the point of this series is so that we don't use these tactics in life, because God's not called us to use dishonorable methods to achieve an honorable objective. And I didn't get a chance last week to show you this example, and I want you to see it. It's Judas in John 12, verse number 5, where this very expensive ointment was poured on the feet of Jesus. And this is soon before he would be taken into custody and die for our sins, where he gave his life for ours. And so here's Jesus in this house, and Mary takes this very expensive alabaster box, opens it, pours this ointment on his feet, and Judas mocked it. He said in verse 5, why was this ointment not sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? So it looks honorable. It looks like this is a good cause. We should have given this money to the poor. But verse 6 says, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. So I wonder how many causes go on in our world where we look like, or the thing looks like, it's caring for this certain cause, but in reality, there's no care for that cause at all, but somebody's pockets are getting lined by the use of that cause when the individual themselves have no real, genuine concern. Are you really concerned about the climate that's on the earth, and do you really think you can change it? Or have you made some backroom deal with China and trying to make some money off of me getting rid of my gas stove? You understand what I'm saying to you? Our world is filled with manipulation, and it happens in every realm. It happens in business. It happens, sadly, in church. It happens in politics. We are surrounded by it. We live in a world of lies. And let me just prove to you how we live in this world of lies. When someone says something to us, think of how often our response is, are you joking? Are you kidding? For real? I mean, these are the kinds of responses we give. Yeah, right. Do you promise? Are you serious? These are common responses to what people say. Why? Because there's so much manipulation in our society, it's hard to believe what anybody says. And I'm not ministering this series so that we can all be schizophrenic, you know, and walk out here and say, oh, Pastor talked about that person right there. No. This is so that you and I can have an awareness and some understanding of the Word of God, and that truth is important to God, and it's important to the health of any relationship in our society. And God doesn't need us to use manipulation and intimidation nor exaggeration to achieve the will that He has for our lives. Can you say amen? If you would, turn with me to Psalms. I want to go to the 40th division, Psalms 40. Let's look at a few things here as it relates to manipulation, and specifically, we're going to be dealing with exaggeration today. Exaggeration. Have you ever had your child, parents, come to you and say, hey, I need this because everybody's got one? I'm going to tell you what my mama would say to that. She's in heaven now, but what she would say to that is she would say, no, everybody don't have one because you don't. But it is an exaggeration. We tend to use it when we want control. We tend to use it when we're trying to control the conversation, our control thought, controlling dialogue. We exaggerate. The use of the words always and never can bring about a whole new argument in a marriage or in a relationship and cause you to miss the whole point of the original discussion. What do you mean always? What do you mean always? And now we're fighting about always. What do you mean you never do this? I just did that 3 weeks ago. What do you mean never? And so now we're fighting about always and never because those are words that exaggerate the reality of what is happening. And God's not called us to operate in that kind of exaggeration. Jesus taught us in his word in Matthew chapter 5, verse 37, Matthew 5, 37, he said, let your communication be yes, yes, no, no. He said, adding anything to that comes evil. When I have to go beyond my yes and beyond my no and add to that, he said, that exaggeration of your yes and that exaggeration of your no only leads to evil. Let your yes be yes, and you know be no, don't be swearing on grandma's grave. I don't even know what that means anyway, but I did that when I was a kid. I swear on my grandma's grave. What does that even mean? Grandma gonna get up and whoop my tail if I'm lying to me? What does it even mean? So watch this in Psalms 40, and when you get there, say amen. And we'll look at it in verse number 4, Psalms 40, verse number 4. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Our world is filled with lies. Just because you saw it on TV doesn't mean it's true. Just because you saw it on the news doesn't mean it's reality. Our world is filled with manipulation and deception. It's all over news media, social media. We can't escape it. We're surrounded by it. And God's telling us here in his word, trust in him, trust in the Lord, and don't turn aside to every lie. Come with me to Psalms 62. Turn forward to Psalms 62. Let's just see what God's word has to say about lies. Psalm 62, and we'll look at it in verse number 4. Psalm 62, verse number 4. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly, Selah. Have you ever been in the presence of somebody that in your face they're smiling and in their face they're speaking blessing, but you know in their heart inwardly they could curse you right now if they could? These are the kind of people that say, oh, how are you doing today? I saw your new car. It is beautiful. But in their heart they want to blow it up. You hear what I'm saying to you? I mean, these are the kind of people we do life with every day, right? And so he says, you know, they speak words of blessing with their mouth, but in their heart, you know, they're filled with curses. And he says, they delight in lies. Verse 9 goes on to say, surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. What does this mean? Well, in context, he's saying don't chase a lie. And then he goes on to say in verse number 9 that there can be men of low degree that don't have much, that are vain, but there are men that can have a whole lot of high degree and they're equally vain. In other words, just because a person has a lot of followers or has a lot of money or a lot of fame doesn't mean that's somebody you need to follow or somebody you need to put hope and trust in. We see this around the political season when Hollywood actors come out and endorse somebody. Wait a minute, I'm supposed to vote for someone because you, an actor who for a living pretends to be what you're not, I'm supposed to believe what you tell me now and who to vote for? This doesn't even make sense. Just because somebody has fame and fortune doesn't mean they have integrity or truth. And I can't chase after lies, even if they are spoken by people that have a lot. Can you say amen? There are plenty of people that have lots of fame and fortune and influence, but that doesn't mean that they are pure in their heart, and it doesn't mean that they aren't filled with vanity. What Jesus' word is saying to us here today is that there are people of low degree that are vain, and there are people of high degree that are vain, and we shouldn't chase after vanity. I'm not going to believe it just because somebody rich said it. I'm not going to believe it necessarily just because some athlete or some actor that I follow and adore has said it. No, I'm not going to follow after lies. I need to know the truth. I'm going to seek the truth, walk in the truth, live in truth. His word is truth. Go with me to Proverbs chapter number 6. Y'all don't mind using your Bible today, do you? Did you read the sign on the building? Praise the Lord. Watch this. Proverbs 6. We'll look at it in verse 16. I'm just kind of laying a foundation here. Just stay with me. Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 16. When you get there, say amen. Amen. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. Can't get more innocent than blood shed from the womb. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, hearing something and acting like you saw it firsthand and repeating it as if you witnessed it firsthand. That's a false witness. And he that sows discord among the brethren. Notice these six things the Lord hates. He doesn't hate sinners, he hates sin. But two of them have to do with lying, a lying tongue and a false witness that repeats a lie that was a lie when the first person said it, and it was a lie when you repeated it. So God says, I hate that. I hate a lie. Why? Because he is a God of truth. Come with me to Proverbs chapter number 29. Proverbs 29. We'll look at it down in verse number 12. If a ruler hearken to lies, all his servants are wicked. The Amplified Classic says it like this: if a ruler listens to falsehood, all his officials will become wicked. In other words, who's leading the thing and what are they listening to? What's leading the one that's leading me? And I don't know about you, but I am a little bit concerned, not to exaggerate, a little bit concerned about the condition that our world is in and who is influencing our society. And have we been sold lies and manipulations? Have we been given this front that it's all about this cause that's honorable, when in reality it was about something totally different? Does this person who says they really care about this group of people really even care about those group of people, or are they just using this movement for their own monetary gain? Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Let me give you an example of that. Let's just say here today that I said we must stand against the murders in Shreveport. We've got to stand against what's happening in our streets, and we've got to do something about it. And everybody said, amen, amen. We need safety in our cities. We need to stop all this senseless killing. And I said, that's what we got to do. And then I said, here's what we're going to do. We are today going to take up an offering. We're going to take up an offering, and we're going to use this offering to stop what's happening in our streets. And if you don't give, you support the homicide in our streets. And then now you're sitting there saying, wait a minute now, if I don't give, I support homicide, and that's what's being said from the pulpit. That is manipulation. That is not the way God operates. No pastor should lead that way. No preacher should lead that way. No politician should lead that way. No one should manipulate another, because when you hear tactics like that, it's likely not even about the cause. It's about one person or a group of people benefiting from you and I being sold a lie. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying to you? Go with me to Proverbs chapter 30. Manipulation's all around us. But listen, church, think about it like this. Our God, our Father in heaven, is a God of truth. Jesus came, according to John 17, verse 3, that we might know him that is true. So our Father is a God of truth. He sent his Son, who is called the truth. John 16, verse 13, he sent his spirit, called the spirit of truth. And in John 17, verse 17, he's given us his word that is truth. You and I have been equipped by God with everything we need to be aligned with truth. And there is nothing more important than you and I being aligned in truth. But it is so easy in a world that is filled with manipulation and folk lie and not even blink for you and I to get caught up into the culture of this world so that we begin to live our lives through a world of manipulation and deception. And church, God's not called us to walk that way. And when we do, it damages our marriages and it damages our families and it damages the church and it damages community. God has not called us to step out of truth to advance any agenda. And if you've got to manipulate to make it happen, it ought not happen. And if you've got to lie to make it work, then it ought not work. And if you've got to intimidate to make this thing happen, it's not ordained of God. And if you have to exaggerate the truth for this thing to go your way, it shouldn't go your way. Watch this in Proverbs chapter 30. God is so serious about this that he says this beginning in verse 6. Add thou not unto his words. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. So God said, don't add to my word. Don't exaggerate what I said. Don't exaggerate what I said, because if you exaggerate what I said and I call it out, you're going to be found a liar. Do we exaggerate what we saw? Do we exaggerate what we heard? Do we exaggerate for the sake of gaining control? Are we exaggerating in our marriage? Are we exaggerating in our family? Are we exaggerating in our business? Are we exaggerating things just so that we can appear as something we are not, or so that we can gain control? God's not called us to be exaggerators. And I'm gonna show you the danger of that here in just a minute. Verse number seven. Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Here's the wise man speaking by the Spirit of God, Solomon, and he says, I request these two things. Look at verse number eight. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Let's read that out loud, Shreveport. Bows, you're ready. Read. Remove far from me vanity and lies. And I'm telling you right now that our world is filled with vanity and lies, and it's like nothing is what it appears to be. Remove from me vanity and lies. Now, this next one might be heavy, because that one there, you might say, yes, Lord, remove from me vanity and lies. But can you handle this second one? Give me neither poverty nor riches. Uh-oh. Now, wait a minute now. If the Lord came to you right now and said, A, poverty, B, riches, which one would you choose? B. But the Spirit of God, speaking through this wise man, says, I seek two things from the Lord. Number one, that I not be moved by lies and vanity. And number two, that he give me not poverty nor riches, but that he, verse 8 says, feed me with food convenient for me. Read that out loud. Feed me with food convenient for me. So what he's saying is, give me what I can manage at this stage in my life, at this phase of my life, in this season of my life. Give me what's good for me. Give me what I can manage. Give me what will keep me safe. It doesn't mean I'm not going to ever prosper. It just means if I'm not ready to prosper, don't let me prosper, because God can't make a millionaire out of a $2 fool. And when we get anxious for something that we are not mature enough to handle, we have to use dishonorable ways to get it. We have to use manipulation. We have to use intimidation. We use exaggeration so that we can come out of a season we're in and step into one that we're not actually prepared for. And so what the wise man is saying here is that the one way to be free from vanity and lies is to be content with the season I am in and what God has given me in this season. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. And so much of our success rests in our ability to understand the season that we are in. Understanding the season that you're in. The Bible says that a wise man understands both time and season. I need to know the season that I'm in. That just because this is the status of my life right now doesn't mean it's going to be that way in 2 years. But God has me right here, right now for a reason. And I don't have to exaggerate things in my life. Either way, I can find contentment right here. You know, we love to quote Philippians 4:13, hey, that says, I can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. But many of us have not backed up to read the previous verse. And the previous verse, Philippians 4, verse 12, the Apostle Paul, by God's Spirit, says, I know how to abound, and I know how to be abased. I know how to be full, and I know how to suffer need. He says, I know how to do both. I have found a way to be content no matter where I am. And then he says in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. What is he talking about being able to do? Being able to go without and being able to have much. Being hungry and being full. Being poor and being rich. Being on high and being on low. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I don't have to exaggerate things, and I don't have to make myself something I'm not. I ain't got to explain to you why I drive a 20-year-old car. Because I'm not defined by it. I ain't got to explain to you why I got the 18-inch wheels while you got the 22s. It's not my season yet. Are you understanding what I'm saying to you? When we don't get caught up in vanity and lies, we're not susceptible to exaggeration. But what causes us to get caught up in vanity and lies? Covetousness, wanting what we don't have, not having our own influence, so we have to manipulate. Doing like Jezebel did, we talked about last week, who had no influence by herself, so she used Ahab's name to influence. The wicked men in Queen Esther's life, who influenced the king to write a decree that would go against the Jewish people because they didn't have any influence. The wicked men in Daniel's life, in Daniel 6, who went before Nebuchadnezzar and had a law written that made Daniel's faith illegal because they had no influence. There are plenty of people that want to manipulate people in power for their own personal agenda. We call it having a seat at the table. I want a seat at the table. Why do you want a seat at the table? Because you want to influence. The Bible says the false prophets of Baal sat at Jezebel's table. Jezebel was influenced by the false prophets, but she also influenced them. There were enemies gathered there at that table. And sometimes when we don't have a seat at the table, we try to manipulate somebody that does. But we need to stop worrying about the table and recognize the table, because the word tells me in the 23rd Psalm that God will prepare me a table even in the presence of my enemies, that the Lord knows how to put me where I belong, and he'll put me there even in the presence of my enemies. He'll make my enemies see what he did through me. I don't need to manipulate man to put me somewhere in life, because God's able to do that all by himself. I ain't got to lie and cheat to prosper, because the blessing of the Lord, it makes rich and it adds no sorrow with it, according to Proverbs 10:22. I ain't got to lie to you to get my bill paid. I don't have to manipulate you for my own gain, because I've got a Father in heaven who gives me richly all things to enjoy. Man, that's good right there. But when you intimidate and manipulate and exaggerate to get through life, you're not sleeping at night. You're always looking over your shoulder. You're wondering when a lie is going to catch up with you. And your blessing, your prosperity is temporal. And you're not enjoying it because you know what you did to get it. And you're constantly looking over your back. But Proverbs 10:22 says that the blessing of the Lord, it will prosper your life and add no sorrow. You're sleeping at night. You're not looking over your shoulder. You're not worried about a lie catching up with you, because you know that the blessing of the Lord has put you in this place in this season. That's good. When I try to exaggerate or manipulate someone else, I am not factoring in God's ability to influence them. I'm not your Holy Spirit. Oh, that's good. I'm not your Holy Spirit. It's not my job to convince you. It's his job to convince you. I'm going to be me and let him be him. Amen. All right, let me get this last verse out because we got to go to the New Testament. Did I get the last verse out? I believe I did. Let's go to the New Testament. Let's go with me. Let's go with me to James, if you would, the book of James. Chapter number 3. Y'all get anything out of this? There's so much gain and vanity in our world that people can't even respect somebody's success. They have to automatically assume there was some under the table something went on. But God's got a way of prospering us without all that mess. Amen. The Holy Spirit can convict me in my marriage better than Chrissy can, and the Holy Spirit can convict her better than I can. Amen. When we go to try to control people, that's when intimidation comes in. That's when manipulation comes in. That's when exaggeration comes in. We're exaggerating things for control. I want to control the conversation. I want to control the answer. I want to go this way, so I'm going to exaggerate the facts. None of y'all here today. Somebody watching live. James chapter number 3, if you're there, say amen. I knew there was a verse I didn't read. It was Psalm 62:11. It said, God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto the Lord. We have to rest in the assurance of that God is in control, not man. I'm not getting caught up with what other people have and what I don't have and what they do have and where I'm at. The Lord knows how to bless me. Your gain is not my loss. Hey. Your gain is not my loss. The world tries to convince us of that, but God is not running short on anything. Matter of fact, if I see you and he did something through you, then that would encourage me that he can do it through me. So I'm gonna rejoice with them that rejoice. And you're gonna show me what he did, and I'm gonna say, won't he do it? Watch this in James chapter 3, if you're there, say amen. Verse 2, for in many things we offend all. Offense is reality. We're going to always offend somebody, is what he's saying. We offend all at some point. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. In other words, if you've never said anything to offend somebody, then you are a perfect man. And able also to bridle the whole body. And I dare not ask for anyone to raise their hand to say, I've never offended anyone with my words. Let's just don't do that. We're talking about lying here. And exaggeration. Verse 3. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. We turn their whole body with just their mouth. Same point with the ships in verse 4. Verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Let's read that out loud up to the period. Ready? Read, Shreveport Bossier. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. What does that mean? We have the ability to exaggerate things. You trying to get somebody to join your business deal? Man, I'm telling you, we can make millions. Millions. Tens of millions. Hundreds of millions. Okay, you just lost me. See, we exaggerate because we want to control. I'm exaggerating because I'm trying to lure you in. Exaggeration is a method that's not honorable before God. And so he says here, the tongue, it'll boast these great things. It boasts these great things. Verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member, but it boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. If you would, turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter number 3. So the tongue will boast great things. It exaggerates to control. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, the children of Israel were ready to take the land of promise. It's just right over Jordan. They'd already seen God part the Red Sea. They knew he could do it. But they got a little comfortable in the land of Canaan. They're like, this is good enough. It's not the wilderness. And they said, no, God's called us to take the land of promise. And when God told them to take the land of promise, he told them that there were seven nations on that land, and all seven were mightier than Israel, but that God was going to drive them out. But they got to the land, they're like, no, we don't need to take that land. So they sent spies in the land. The spies came back and said, man, the men of that land are great stature, and we are grasshoppers. We will get squashed. And they said, well, see there, we can't take the land. But that was not real. It was an exaggeration. But they exaggerated the size of the enemy to justify staying where they were. How many of us justify where we are by exaggerating where God's called us to be? In other words, making the enemy so big that there's no way. What's the use? Hey, did you? How was your job search today? Well, I didn't go. Why? Nobody's hiring. Nobody's hiring? All right, now, I don't know who just got their word. We exaggerate the enemy. I hadn't been praying like I should. I know I hadn't been living like I should. I hadn't been doing this like I should. But Pastor James, you know the devil is busy. Don't make him bigger than he is. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. The Lord told you and me that we'd have enemies, but he also told us that we would overcome them. Many times we use an exaggeration just to stay where we are. An excuse justifies a lack of change. So they didn't take the land. So watch this on the opposite side. Because some of us need help. And all of us need Jesus. But to justify not receiving somebody's help and to justify not turning to the Lord, we exaggerate on how well we are doing. I don't want nobody helping me. So I exaggerate how good I got it. So watch this in Revelation chapter 3. If you're there, say amen. And I'll be done in a few minutes, but I want you to see this. First of all, I want you to look at where Jesus is. Verse 20. I'm going to read a little bit in verse 20, then we're going to back up to verse 17. Verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. So Jesus is not in the house. Jesus is not in the church. Jesus is on the outside. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now, why is not this church letting him in? Why isn't this individual letting him in? Why are there people right now that are not letting Jesus in their life? Watch the exaggeration, verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am what? I'm rich. And you say, I am what? Increased with goods. And you say, read the rest, and have need of nothing. Stop right there. You don't need nothing. Now notice what they just said. I am rich, I am increased with goods, and I don't need nothing. Where is Jesus when you have that mindset? Outside trying to get in. Why? Because you have exaggerated how well you are doing. You have exaggerated how good your life is. You have exaggerated how well it is when you know it's not well. But that is a way to justify not turning to God. That is a way to justify not turning to his word. That is a way to justify not turning to prayer or to allow someone to bless you even. You took so-and-so to work the other day. And they said, thank you so much. Here, let me give you some gas money. And you said, oh, that's all right. I don't need it. But they saw your gas hand. And it's knocking on E's door. And you know you need some gas money. but your pride won't let somebody help you. You say, no, all is well, all is well, all is well. How many people today will not ask for help? Not of their mom, not of their dad, not of their brother, not of their cousin, not of anyone, because they have to put on this facade that matches the face they put on their social media page, that I have it all together. You don't have it all together. You took 23 pictures before you posted that one. You do not have it all together. You scrolled through 6 months of photo memories to find one that looked like it was healthy. You're not that well off. But the enemy tells us, don't receive help. Don't let anybody sow into you. You don't need Jesus. And we exaggerate. I'm rich. I don't need nothing. I have it all. It's an exaggeration. And that exaggeration is so that you maintain control, because there's a fear that you can't let Jesus in, or that you can't be vulnerable in front of your neighbor, or that you can't be vulnerable in front of your spouse, or that you can't be vulnerable in front of your brother and sister in Christ, or your friend, that I can't be vulnerable enough to say I have need, that I can't be vulnerable enough to say my head's been bothering me. Would you pray for me? We got to always put on this front that, no, I'm healed, I'm whole, I'm perfect, everything's just right. No, it's not. Your old press, deep press, in a mess, can't rest, trying to pass yet another test, selling me this mess. You know good and well you need some help. Are we exaggerating who we are before the Lord? And Jesus said in verse 17, and I'm closing, he said, from my vantage point, you know not that you're actually wretched. You are miserable, you are poor, you are blind, and you are naked. And then he goes on to verse 18 and says, I got what you need. I've got gold tried in the fire that you might really be rich. I've got clean clothes. I want to clothe you. I want to remove the shame that's on your life. I want to anoint your eyes so that you can really see. And I love you. That's why I'm chastening and rebuking you. I'm at the door. Let me in. I got something for you. But you won't let him in because you think you don't need him. It's okay to need him. Oh my God. It's okay to need him. It's okay that you've been saved for 23 years, but you're at a broken point in your life where even the enemy's gotten you doubting. It's okay to be real with God and say, Lord, I don't feel like I'm where I used to be. I don't feel like I have the faith I used to have. I will not be a lie in front of you. I will be transparent, Lord. I'm struggling mentally. I'm struggling physically. I'm struggling in every area of my life. Lord, I need you. And when you start being that real with God, then that door stops getting knocked on. Why? Because that's when he comes in, and that's when he heals and delivers. But if we keep exaggerating how well off we are, we're leaving him outside. We got to walk in the workplace and be asked, how are you doing? Blessed. You're a wreck. You don't even want to be at work today. You're mad at your husband. You just curse your own child. You are a walking wreck. Come on, blessed. Just be real. I need prayer today. I prayed myself here. The bad hair is because I almost pulled it out. Yes, I'm saved. Yes, Jesus is Lord. Yes, I have the Holy Spirit. And yes, I've read the Bible. But today, it ain't looking good, pray. Hey, there's freedom. There's freedom. The Bible says, confess your faults one to another and be healed. I ain't got to have it all together. I know the one that does. Why am I driving this car? Because I can't afford nothing else. They put me in the fishbowl and came back and said, sorry, Mr. McManus, you got this credit record. So I'm still in my Pinto. But you know what? I can be content in my Pinto. Some of y'all don't even know what a Pinto is. I ain't seen one in forever, but they used to exist. It's a watered-down Mustang. Some of y'all are like, what a Pinto, what a Pinto, what a Pinto. Google it. My car don't identify me. My address don't identify me. Hallelujah. I can't appreciate being full until I've been hungry. I can't appreciate his blessing until I feel like I've been without it. One season prepares me for the next. I ain't got to be ashamed of the season that I'm in. Yes, I got this at the Goodwill, but don't it look good? And I paid a fraction of what you paid, and you don't even look this good. I feel like praising him. He's God on my best day. He's God on my worst day. My mental condition does not define who he is. I ain't got to exaggerate things.
I want to thank you for tuning in to today's message on our podcast. If this word encouraged you, visit our website at wogm.com for more information and resources. I'm Pastor James McManus. Have a blessed week.